The sky is so starless. Baby, the sky is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back. We are back. This is the Red Light Special Podcast. I am Rob Markman. To my right is Kristen Carl, because she don't like to say her. She likes to be introduced.
Thank you.
But she won't introduce herself.
No.
It's the most petty thing I've ever encountered in my entire life. But we are back. This is the Red Light Special. What you just heard was Jake and Papa. They got our intro, Starless. I still love that song, man.
And the whole sexual warfare tape.
Yeah, they whole tape is crazy. You know, I was going on the Twitter rant the other day, shouting out Fayo and Chill. Because they produced 187. They did For However Long on Bryson Tiller. They did KR About That. Like, they about to catch such a wave.
Those are three solid ones, too.
That's what I'm saying.
187 is definitely, I've said it a couple of times. I said it when we had Jake and Papa on the podcast, but it's probably my favorite record on that whole sexual warfare project.
Yeah,
And then you've been putting me on to KR.
Yeah, KR got some shit, but that About That record, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, that record is so hot. Like, you know, it always takes, like, one person to co-sign it, one person, like, you know, I look at some of these other DJs, some of these other bloggers, program directors at radio, and nobody follows their heart. Like, everybody got ears, but nobody, like, if you like some shit, play, like, that KR record could be a big record if somebody took a chance at radio, but they won't. But it's amazing, so we're going to shout it out here. But really, shout out, the whole purpose was to shout out Fayo and Chill, man, because they do great work. I see a lot of dope things in their future. How you been since last week? We had Imani on. He gave us a lot of things to
think about. The Imani episode was definitely a good one. I feel like in an amount of time, he'll get to where he should be, because he has an incredible voice. And, you know, the music that he put out on this 4 a.m., even though it's only five songs, I feel like it's from front to back. You know, I could listen to it without skipping anything. And he'll be good in a matter of time.
Nah, yeah, man. Shout out to Imani, man. Thanks for coming through. What you been listening to this week? I feel like we got a ton of new music. You been listening? R. Kelly dropped Buffet. Jeremiah joined the Still Popping. August Alsina dropped something. What you been listening to?
Definitely August. I feel like Hollywood and Would You Know are definitely two of my favorite records off that album. The R. Kelly album I tried to get into, I don't know if I just didn't sit with it, but I don't feel like it has a good balance, like, throughout it. Like, I don't really get a feel of, like, okay, this album is this or this album is that. And then Jeremiah's album, I feel like, has a lot of trap beats.
And you say that like that's a bad thing.
It's not that it's a bad thing, but I like, we always speak about how, you know, R&B artists today are conforming to what's like stripper music, quote unquote stripper music, you know what I mean? So it's like we say they don't talk about lovemaking anymore, and we don't talk about, you know, the intimacy anymore, and everybody's falling into that whole, you know, whatever's gonna pop in a club
music,
that kind of record. And I feel like
fuck too.
Yeah, it's a good album. I do like a couple of songs on there, probably like four or five that I really like. But overall, it doesn't feel like an R&B album.
Sounds like a gem. Well, this is the guy who made Birthday Sex, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah's clearly talented.
Album. I like it. Yeah.
I really liked August's album for a lot of those reasons. A lot of what August is doing right now reminds me, I know it's going to sound blasphemous, they're going to kill me, but like in the vein of Marvin Gaye, and the aspect of it's a lot more social commentary on his album instead of relationships and stuff like that. Like when he talks about Job, you know, with Anthony Hamilton and Jada Kiss, Dreamer, like it just feels like a lot of, you know, it's not so much for the bedroom. Like he's really trying to inspire people. I respect August for that. I really like the song Been Around the World with Chris Brown,
because mm-hmm.
you know, they take from Lisa Stansfield, who took from Biggie, took from her, and they mix it all up in the pot. It's kind of funny because on that song, August is kind of singing like, yo, shorty, I've been around the world and I'm not trying to settle down, you don't want to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Chris Brown ass come through in the next verse, is like, I've been around the world, I'm popping, bitch, this how you want to be with me? Like, I think Chris missed the point, but it works out, it works for a good collaboration.
Yeah.
Nah, that's dope. And then Chris drops an album at the end of the week. So
we'll like there's so much music.
Let's talk about real quick. What's going on with Def Jam though, man? Like, we're gonna talk about it. August was upset at Def Jam last week for putting his album up on YouTube. And now Jeremiah is pissed at Def Jam for the rollout of his album. 50 said, I haven't seen it. I haven't been to Best Buy in a minute. They said they were selling the album for $18.99. Like, I ain't see an album on sale for $18.99 since, like, 91, since CDs first came out.
Well, he said it himself. I think he put it out on Twitter that his album was going for $18.99. I don't know that anybody's buying an album in general for $18.99 anymore, unless it's like, you know, like if Beyonce were to drop an album tonight at midnight for $18.99, I'm pretty sure that whole Beehive movement would be on it and she'd sell. But you have to have, I feel like, your fans really backing you in order to do something like that.
I'm a strong advocate for buying CDs and buying albums. I wouldn't pay $18.99 for nobody's album.
It's crazy.
I did pay $18.99 for the greatest hip-hop album of all time, which would be Life After Death, but that was 1997, and it was a double album, so, you know what I mean? Nah, but, yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. Def Jam, you know, shout to the team at Def Jam, man. They've been doing a lot of good work with us, but I don't know, man. Y'all got to get y'all artists out here putting y'all on blast, man.
I will say this. It's all politics. Like, at the end of the day, it's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. So you don't know if it's the artist or the label to blame. Who really knows? At the end of the day, I just know $18.99 for an album is absurd.
Listen, we're going to get to the bottom. We're going to see if we get Jeremiah on the phone or something, bring him to the Red Light Special or something. We definitely been talking with his camp, but I don't know, shit been crazy over there, so we'll see.
Yeah,
but we have an exciting episode this week in the studio, in the house we got with us, the cast and the team from a movie that you've been working on that the trailer just dropped, right? You, me, him, and her?
Yep. I'm excited about that.
Oh, man. You know what I want? You know what I'm going to ask about? You know what's going to be my first question, right?
I don't know, but we'll wait to hear it.
I got a particular question in my mind.
I'm a little scared.
So Al Patron and the team from You, Me, Him, and Her are here. And then last week, I got a chance to speak to Cash Money artist Jacquees.
Jacquees. How do you say? Is it Jacquees.
Yeah. Who is, son is dope. 21 years old. Like,
he's 21.
Have you really listened to his stuff?
No, but I've seen a couple clips from his performance at, which you, I believe you were at,
SOBs. Yeah.
And he could sing.
He really reminds me of, like, the 1990s guys. Like he really styles his music more so from the 90s, more so from an older R&B vibe rather than, you know, the trap R&B vibe, which is going on right now, which is, it's not to say one is better than the other, but it makes him stand out because he's not doing what everybody is doing right now, which I respect. So I spoke to him. It was a little weird because you wasn't there. You was in court. You handled that thing.
That makes it seem like I'm
a criminal.
Yeah,
you're a criminal.
It was a parking ticket, so it was nothing serious, but I had to show up.
Parking tickets are serious. You have to
drive
safe.
They're not serious. They're ridiculous, actually.
No, you have to respect these laws on the road, okay?
Yeah,
keep these pedestrians safe.
I guess. If it's going to hold me back from another RLS interview. Yeah.
Chris couldn't make it. She was like, man, I can't go. I got caught. I was like, oh, man, they caught up to her. It's about to go down. Nah, but you got the parking ticket taken care of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so we're going to get into it. This is going to be your first time hearing it.
Yep.
But we're going to get into this Jacquees interview, man. Cash Money's own. Shout out to Ms. Vicky Charles. Shout out to Rochelle. Yes, we in another remote location, you know. Sometimes we got to take it outside of the studio like we did with Tory Lanez a couple of weeks ago just to catch a special vibe. We have a really great guest this week. This week's guest hails from Atlanta. He signed a Cash Money Records, you know, one of the most successful labels in hip-hop. His latest single, Like Baby, is an ode to the label and his co-founder, Birdman. But don't let the single fool you. It definitely got to bounce. This dude can sing. Please welcome Jacquees to the Red Light Special, man.
And what it do, what it do, what it do.
What's good, man? We here in Brooklyn, man. Is this your first time in New York?
Nah, this is my first time in New York.
Okay.
I done been here about, this is like my third.
Okay. Well, yeah. You recently performed in New York.
Yeah, SOBs.
What was that like?
That was legendary. Yeah. You know, they say legends made at SOBs. I felt real good. You know, I was high energy. Right. It was different, though. You know, I had the cord mic, the band. That was like first time for me, but it was dope. I'm glad I got to experience that first time at SOBs.
Right. I remember in 2009, I saw your label mate, Drake,
yeah,
perform at SOBs for the first time.
How was it?
Oh, man, it was crazy. Lines around the corner. It was a legendary. It was one of those shows that kind of defined that space and that venue.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I remember seeing Kendrick perform there for the first time. Like, I feel like if you come through the city of New York, you definitely got to make an SOB stop, and you got to make your presence felt.
Yeah, and that was for BET Music Matters. So when I come back to New York, hopefully I can do it again, you know, like for a Jacquees live show.
Yeah, nah, you got to, man. You definitely got the live show down, you
Thank
know.
You,
I don't know if you remember, we met very briefly. It was ever so briefly on the set of the Flavor video in Atlanta. I was working for MTV back then. And
okay, you did an interview with Bird and
Thug. Yeah, Bird had invited me out.
Yeah.
He said, hey, Playboy, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I better do. Listen, I want you to cover this. So we went out there, covered it.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously Thug, and I don't think Quan was
Quan didn't come
part.
To the video shoot, because that was my first video shoot with them.
That was your first joint,
yeah, that was
too.
My first joint.
Yeah, that was the night, too. We found out Juvie reunited with the label.
Yep.
And I didn't know who you were, and I'm just like, I'm always wondering what Birdman is up to, and what Cash Money is up to, because just when you think the label has built enough stars,
here come another one,
and that's where you come in. When did you first hook up with Cash Money? When did you first sign your deal?
I signed a deal last year, so I met Stunner in Atlanta. He was in Atlanta doing work with Quan and Thug, and I was basically looking for a situation, you know what I'm saying? And I called Corey. Corey is my manager now. He was with Bird at the time, and I basically called him and was letting him know I was looking for a situation. He was like, well, Quan with Stunner right now. Mm. And I sent him a song that I had called Soldier with Rich Homie Quan. He called me back. He was like, you got the video shot? I was like, yeah, I got the video. I sent him the video, and then on the third call was Stunner. And Stunner was just like, I'm going to put you down. That feud don't even trip. I'm going to put you down. I met with him 2 days later. About a month later, I had a deal.
That's crazy. So I'm trying to think. You signed in October?
I signed in September. I think it was the 17th.
Okay, it was right around the time of
2014.
The Flavor video, because I feel like I remember the Flavor video. I think it was like September 11th. I remember flying down to Atlanta around September 11th.
I think I signed, and then I went to I don't know if I signed and went to the Flavor video that night. It probably was in the same week.
The same week. That's crazy. So it happened just like that.
Yeah, it was like quick ASAP.
And before that, you was down with Block, right?
Yeah, I was with Block when I was like 14.
Okay. And people don't know, obviously, Block Entertainment. They used to have the deal with Bad Boy, Young Jock, and all that. They definitely put it down. So you done seen some things, and you know that's nothing to sneeze at. Neither Block is really a force out here moving.
Yeah.
What do you think you learned? Because you had an independent ground way.
Yeah, I learned a lot from that. You know, I linked up with people like Jody Breeze. You know, Jody Breeze is my big brother. He taught me a lot about the game. Gorilla Zoe, you know, they taught me a lot. It was dope to get to experience that. I used to go to Block Studio and just sit on the couch. He wouldn't even let me in the studio.
Wow.
I used to just sit over there all day just waiting on the opportunity, and finally they let me in. So, you know, being with Block, that just taught me about grind and hustle. You know, it just, that situation right there let me know that if I want it, I got to go get it myself. And so I appreciate them for, you know, putting that in me, putting that hustle in me, putting more hustle in me than I already had. And I met some great people during that time, like Greg Street.
Yeah, legend.
Greg Street, like one of my uncles. I met a lot of great people through Block, you know, so I don't never take away the fact that I was with Block, all that, you know. I see Block as all love, you know what I mean? I know he happy for my success. Now I was 14, I'm 21 now. That was 7 years ago.
Nah, that's dope. Yeah, at the end of the day, like, that was game that you picked
that's
up.
That's game I picked up from. You know what I'm saying? It's all game. Like, you know what I'm saying? From a old OG to a young OG. That's just all game.
When did you first realize that you wanted to sing?
When I was 9.
Okay.
9 years old, I realized I got to do it. I started watching movies like, you know, The Temptations.
Oh, yeah.
And The Jacksons. That was like my favorite movie. We used to play them at my auntie house. And we used to just be watching those movies. And then I bust out and just tried it. And my auntie was like, Quee, that sound good. I looked in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? Sung it again. Went home and sung it. My mama them tell me it sound good. Now I get in the talent show. And then I win. And from there, it's all history.
That's crazy. One of the things I appreciate about you, and I think a lot of people, though you have an independent ground, the way like Baby is taking off,
yeah,
I think for a lot of people it's gonna be an introduction to you.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's a dope song, but it's not indicative of all that you can do.
Right. I'm glad you see that though.
Yeah, like,
I mean, it's just an introduction record. You know, we just jumping out of the gate, you know. Mm. We just catching the people's attention.
Right. Well, let's talk about it first of all. Like Baby. The Birdman put you up to this? When did you come up with this idea?
Nah, Stunna, and that's what I want everybody to know. That was not Stunna idea. That was not Stunna idea. That was my idea. I approached him with it because I always wanted to be with Cash Money. Like, that was my dream. And the record came about. I was in the studio working, and everybody had went to sleep. We had just got done recording like 3 R&B records for my album. And I had a couple beats that I wanted to go through because the engineer always stay up with me. You know, I might fall asleep in the studio and wake up when everybody's asleep. It'd be crazy. But I woke up and I just had a beat, and that's the first thing I felt. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the first thing I felt on the song. Did everything that I had to do, and now I'm a Kevin and I won. And I just felt like it was my introduction. Like, I was just letting the people know where I was and where I done grinded to and where I am, you know, like where I'm placing the flag at. Now I'm a Cash Money nigga like Wayne and Baby. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like in the song you can hear me telling my story a little, you know what I'm saying? Like telling you what I did to get by, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm fly, you know. I'm just really flexing. It's a flex record. It's my anthem, you know, to the game.
Mm.
And I just say that's my anthem. But that wasn't Stunna idea, man. That was all me. Stunna ran with it though, of course. You know,
what,
he loved the record.
What was his reaction when, because it's rare that I see him excited. Like, he's so cool. Like, yeah, everything is just real cool. What was his reaction when you played this record? Like, you got to set this scene.
Movement. Like, it was just like, you know, Stunna coming out like, let me play these records. I play him the song. As soon as he heard the beat and as soon as he heard how I'm flowing on it, he Stunna give you a look like, you know what I'm saying? Like, then you look around. Then he be like, turn that up. Then he turn it up. Then he start it over. Then he go get it, then he play it again, and he play it again, and you see him again, he playing it again.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He was just amped. Like, I had Stunna in the studio moving.
Mm. You just, too, man, it got to feel like you just recorded, like, a, you know, Superman got a theme song.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that one Superman thing.
Yeah, for real.
Spider-Man got a theme. It felt like, yeah, you gave him superhero.
Yeah,
music,
man, you know, I did that with Stunna, because Stunna done did a lot for the game. You know what I'm saying? Stunna done did a lot for the game, man. It's like, people be forgetting what he done did.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? You can't never forget. That's Baby.
Right.
He done made stars. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like everybody around my age, you know what I'm saying, one period of time, we all wanted to be like Baby and Wayne. You know what I'm saying? We all wanted to stunt like that. I mean, I'm 21. Like, people from 21 to 24, like,
right,
they feel where I'm coming from. Like, you know what I'm saying? And especially where I'm from in Atlanta. Like, we all looked up to Cash Money.
Right.
You know, and I was just letting it be known that I wouldn't shine away from the fact that I once wanted to be like Baby. You know what I'm saying? Who wouldn't want to be successful like that? Like, I'm not saying from an aspect I want to, you know what I mean? I just want to, I'm going to live my life like Baby. I'm going to be successful like Baby. You know,
right,
I'm going to cash my nigga like Baby. I got all red whip like Baby.
Right.
I got your girl calling me Baby.
Right.
I want to live life like Baby. You feel me? Because Baby living a life, man. Right. Baby on a yacht right now.
Right. And yeah, that's that wordplay in it too. Let me ask you a question though. Like, Cash Money has been around, damn, we're coming up on 20 years, over 20 years, just on a major level.
Cash
not
Money
even counting
been around since I was
grind.
Born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people got a lot to say about the label. It's,
yeah,
obviously in the news, Birdman is in the news. It's obviously an exciting time for your career.
Yeah.
Does that affect you? How do you navigate everything that you're seeing and you're reading? Plus, I just got signed and it's
just
my
like
time.
It's just like, I know a lot of that stuff is like BS. You know what I'm saying? I be with Stunna. Like, every time I'm not on the road, I'm in Miami. And I always was the type of person that I go after stuff for myself. I go see stuff for myself. I don't go off of what the next person has said about someone or like that. I always go look for myself. And that was just one of the situations with Stunna. You know what I'm saying? They say crazy stuff about a lot of other people I like in the game. You know what I'm saying? And Stunna just, once you become so big of a person, stuff gonna start coming out on you anyway, you know what I'm saying? And man, I ain't let that affect my judgment of whether I wanted to sign with Cash Money or nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, we good over there, you know, everything A1. You know, it's an exciting time in my career, but I just stay focused.
Okay.
You know, I'm just focused on Jacquees. You know, whatever people make up or, you know, whatever people say, it ain't got nothing to do with Jacquees.
Right.
You know, I just always keep my tunnel vision straight forward.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what Stunna always tell me. Like, just stay focused.
Right. That's real. That's very real. Have you gotten a chance to meet Wayne? Obviously, Wayne is a big icon. Have you gotten a chance to connect with him yet?
I ain't met him, but I see him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see him all the time. Mm. Yeah, and then, you know, Macca hear me like, yeah, you know, we see.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you get the Wayne comparisons in terms of your look? I feel like I saw your SOBs and you had the frames on, you reminded me of like an 06 Wayne a little bit.
Man, that's crazy because it's like I don't try to look like Wayne.
Right.
Like, honestly, when I first put the glasses on, I thought of Bobby Brown.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you sure you're 21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
You talking about Bobby Brown? Like,
yeah, because that's just where I come from. Like, I got that type of soul. You know, but I've been getting a Wayne comparison since I was 5.
Right.
Yeah, before I had tattoos, dreads, or anything. Like, I heard that I promised on my mama, I done heard that my whole life. My entire life. That's why it's crazy. I just signed the Cash Money. I ain't never tried to look like Wayne.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. You feel me? Like, I've been hearing that my entire life, and it's not gonna stop.
Right.
And I don't run from it. You know what I'm saying? It's just certain stuff in life you can't run from. You think I look like Wayne, but you know I ain't trying to be Wayne.
Right.
You feel me? I ain't trying to be nothing like him.
Right.
Period. I'm trying to be Jacquees.
Well, the music is all the way different. Let's talk about some of your musical influences though, because like I said, I got a bounce. It's very right now.
Yeah.
It fits in pocket. It's kind of perfect for radio, but it's not indicative of what you do.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of new singers right now, the style is very moody, it's very like down. A lot of singers are singing with a rapper's cadence.
Yeah,
you bring like a 90s vibe to it. Like, I feel like you fit in right now, but I feel like you would have really fit in back
Talk
about some of your influences.
Jodeci,
mm.
R. Kelly, Bobby Brown, Chris Brown. Boyz II Men, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson,
of course,
Wayne.
Now you said it's funny because on BED,
yeah,
you do say you're the 2015 Wanye,
right? Yeah.
This show, so I do this show. She's not here now with my co-host Kristen Carl, and this whole podcast that we do is birthed off of a debate that I had on Twitter. I know you was talking about earlier with my man John. We was on Twitter, and one day I was just debating people, Boyz II Men versus Jodeci.
Yeah.
You know, and...
That's a hard debate, man. That's a hard... You can argue that all day.
And we made a podcast over it. So our very first episode, me and Kristen, she's a big Boyz II Men fan, I'm a big Jodeci fan, and we argued and we brought Mac Wiles in to kind of be like the third opinion. And we built a whole episode where we just argued Boyz II Men versus Jodeci.
Can you pick one? I cannot pick between Jodeci and Boyz II Men because I love KC and Wanye. I love the whole groups, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But those were the standouts to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course I love everybody else in the group, you know, Boyz II Men and Jodeci, but KC and Wanye just really stood out to me. I feel like I got a lot of my style from KC and Wanye, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I couldn't push them boys off the bridge. I had to jump with them. I'm with Jodeci and Boyz II Men. That's just a debate I couldn't pick. Like,
right.
I couldn't pick. That's a hard pick.
What about my man and Boyz II Men? I'm gonna ask you about this. I forget his name.
You talking about?
I think it was Michael. Look, I'm gonna do it for you. When he's like, baby.
You talking about?
Yeah, but dude, he was saying, but dude had, I always felt like with him, every song he needed, his job was to find a new way to apologize for some shit he ain't do. He was like, baby, I know you was out there cheating on me with them other guys.
He said,
I just didn't care. It was like, nah, I care.
Like, hey, nah, he did always come in with some flavor though. But his lines kind of made some of the songs deeper, because you need then that come in the background over when he talking.
Right.
You might hear one, you hit a little note over the it all going. See, that's what separated Boyz II Men from Jodeci. Like, they was more, I feel like, emotional when it comes to a woman's feelings.
Right.
Boyz II Men was there to care.
Right.
Jodeci was there to create a certain mood, you know, create a feeling, you know what I'm saying? And they was lovey, but it's like They was rough.
It's still gangster.
Yeah, they keep it gangster. You know what I'm saying? Like, Boys to Men, it's like, it's just a difference. You know what I'm saying? But both from G's, though. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because KC was kind of crazy, I think. Because if you think about, man, how he started that song, it's been an hour since you've been gone.
It's been an hour since you've been gone. And that's too long. So come back home. Yeah.
It's like, yo, it's only been an hour. Like, she'll be back, bro. It's not too long.
It's been an hour. I just thought about that, bro.
Yo, it's not that long. Like, let her breathe.
See what I'm saying, though? They was at your throat.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Like, period. Like,
that's funny. BD.
I think say it's been an hour.
Like, if you really think about that, it's like, bro, it's not that deep. BD. Though, man, this is a dope record. If you guys haven't heard it, I encourage you to go check it out. Little Avant, too. Yeah. Like, you salute Avant.
Yeah, on definitely. Big shout out to Avant, man. Another R&B king.
Do you write your own stuff?
Yeah, I write that. I write and I work with Forte Boy. So I got like a team I work with. Like, okay. Well, it's not even a team. It's just me and my brother. Me and Forte. So, like, we just go in the studio together and just work collectively. So we did that record, BD, collectively.
Okay. Something like Come Through.
Yeah.
I think it's such a smart record because it's
clever.
It samples
Cameo.
Cameo Candy.
Yeah, shout out to Cameo.
But then you even talk about Candy crushing it, which is the new thing, and then you just start flipping Candy names. First of all, when Cameo came out, you wasn't born.
Nah, and Cameo liked that record too.
Did he? Hit you up? Or?
Yeah, he liked the record. Cameo was going to get on the record, but I forgot it was a long little process we had to go through, you know what I'm saying? But he was with it, but I wasn't trying to wait, you know what I'm saying? But he's still with it.
You know, it messed me up because when that record came out, I feel like I had to be like 8 years old. So, you know, you're 6, 7, 8 years old, you sing, it's like Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought he was really singing about Candy.
Nah, but he
until I got older, exactly. And I was like, holy, like, what the fuck was wrong with my parents that was letting me listen to this shit and walk around the house singing
because
it?
Because your mind wasn't there, you feel me? So they know he can go around singing Candy. He not going to go in the streets and say, like, it's different from now. You know, if your kids running around singing, they probably understand.
Right.
Versus to then, you know, of course they're going to let you run. Oh, he just think it's Candy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We know what they saying in the song. It's just like kids that sing Come Through.
Yeah, yeah. See, you corrupting the kids, bro.
But not really.
They think look, they sing Mom, about let Candy sing. Crush.
We're singing still by Candy Crush, because I'm definitely saying you can be my Candy Crush. So kids, they can be a Candy Crush.
Another really, really dope record that I enjoy, because they don't make records like this no more. Miss Kathy.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a real story. I feel like this is a true. You gotta tell the real story behind Miss Kathy.
Well, Miss Kathy, you know, Miss Kathy is a record. You know, I got a friend, a best friend. Her grandmother's name is Miss Kathy, and you know, basically, when I was trying to tell Miss Kathy, like, hey, this girl right here should be my best friend. You know, she wasn't really going for it, so I had to break it down to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, look, Miss Kathy, I'm thugging. I'm a G, but I'm a good boy. Like, I'm gonna treat her like a queen. You know what I'm saying? Like, just trust me. Like, I love her. You know what I'm saying? And that's basically what I'm saying to Miss Kathy.
That's crazy. But so you're actually, first of all, I think like young people nowadays, like don't even, everything happens so quick. It's like, it's y'all like might send a couple of DMs and y'all.
And it's on, somebody pregnant.
Right.
Yeah.
Much less having to convince somebody's mom or somebody's grandmother.
You shot a future baby daddy.
Yeah.
She your future baby mom.
What did Miss Kathy say when she heard the record? You ever heard about
it? Yeah, she loved it. Yeah, she loved the record. I mean, because she loved, like, she already got soul, you know what I'm saying? So if you singing like that, and that's something that they remember too, that's a certain sound that they remember.
Right.
She loved it. She sold.
Bro, I swear, 21. You sure you 21?
Yeah, I'm 21.
Because I go back and I watch the short film you did for...
IDJ.
Yeah.
Directed by me.
Directed by you?
Yeah, I directed all my videos.
Okay.
Still to this day.
So, and that's inspired by Juice.
Yeah.
Like, even down to the... shower scene and the Big Daddy Kane song is playing. Like, you really
appreciate you for noticing that, bro.
Nah, Juice,
that's work.
That's ill. Like, that's not by mistake. Even down to the scene where the Puerto Rican dude pressed Tupac, and then he was wild scared, and so he seen his peoples roll up behind him, and then he started talking mega shit. Like,
exactly.
You pulled off that scene, crazy.
Thank you, bro.
That's ill. So, is it just singing? Like, what is it that you plan to do in the future? Because I feel like it's just the beginning.
It's definitely beginning. In the future, I plan to, you know, I got a love for directing. So I always want to, you know, do more directing. Like, once I'm done, not even done, like, once I got space to just be free sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I want to, like, go out to other artists' set, you know what I'm saying, and help direct on their set, you know what I'm saying? That's something I like to do. I want to get into movies, too. Mm. Like, as you can see in my short film, like, I already do a lot of acting. So next year, I plan on, like, shoot my own movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah, directing it, too.
I could see it. I could definitely see it.
Definitely.
New album coming or
yeah, new album next year. New album coming next year. And me and Birdman got a joint album mixtape we're working on right now that'll drop either this month or next month. It's gonna drop before my album.
Right.
Yeah, just to juice it up some other. And so like Baby singles off of the project with me and Baby.
Okay, so that's gonna be the
project with me and Stone.
You got a name for the project?
Yeah, it's called Lost at Sea.
Okay. I I've been blessed throughout my career to because Bird don't interview with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I might have interviewed him about 6-7 times already. Like, yeah. We had a good interview.
You already know he don't interview.
Yeah, he don't. And I always like to mess with him because I feel like, I mean, he's not the illest lyricist that there is, but his verses Flavor. Be like.
Might you hear these verses?
But the verses be, and he be like, nah, I ain't no rapper yet. I'm game spitting.
Yeah, that's it. That's what he gonna tell you off the rip.
Right.
He say, nephew, this ain't nothing but pimping. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing but pimping.
Right. So y'all doing the whole project. Is it gonna be more R&B or are you gonna be doing more rapping? Like, how's it gonna sound sonically?
It's gonna be a solid. It's gonna be very solid. You know, you'll be able to know what I do from this project. Like, you won't be guessing. You will lead a project knowing you will lead this project wanting a Jacquees album. Mm. So it's definitely like BD is off of Lost at Sea. Right. Bounce is off of Lost at Sea.
Why Lost at Sea? What's the significance of that title?
We just lost at sea. Mm. You know, we in Miami, we lost at sea.
Oh, yeah, and
there's nowhere to go. We lost at sea. Nowhere but up.
I feel you. You know, I was watching you yesterday too. And again, we was out in SOBs.
Yeah.
And you just created a vibe to where I went home on the ride home. I threw on Apple Music, looked up like an old 90s R&B playlist, and I just zoned out. So what happened was Mint Condition came on, Breaking My Heart, Pretty Brown Eyes. I started reminiscing. I was in my junior high school prom.
Yeah.
That was my first slow dance ever.
Yeah.
So I went on Twitter and I just started asking people, like, what was your first slow dance? And
yeah.
I got wild responses. So I'm going to ask you, I feel like everybody got that first slow dance story. You remember your first slow dance?
My first slow dance. So, you know, I didn't really come from that era of slow dancing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so my slow dancing was like a slow twerk. You know what I'm saying? It was like a slow twerk. So I think the first song I got my first slow twerk dance on was my first dance, like, it was special. I'm trying to think where it was. I know it was definitely in my neighborhood at a party. Mm. I'm trying to figure out what song was it. What song was it? My first dance. I know I definitely had to be in the seventh grade. Okay. And I definitely know who the girl was.
You can shout her out. You ain't got to.
Yeah, she know. You know what I'm saying? It was 07, man. You know what I'm saying? You know how we was rocking at 07, man. Shout out to you, man. I know you're in the world living, kicking it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Hope you got love all over you.
I got weird answers. Somebody tried to tell me, and I ain't believe it. Like, you know, me being from New York, and I spend a lot of my sister living down there in Georgia and in Atlanta. So I spend a lot of time, and I feel like while it's different, we all got our own flavors. Like, we ain't that different. Like, we all, like, a hit is a hit is a hit. So somebody told me, man, we ain't had no slow songs in the South. And I was like, listen, like, we all ain't listen to Usher.
Yeah,
like,
Usher the man. You know, okay, Usher out of A-Town.
Yeah, you had Lloyd. You had, like, come on, we definitely had. Yeah. But somebody hit me and said, nah, my first slow dance was the Ying Yang Twins, the Whisper song. Does that count?
That, man. Hey, how you doing? Man, that don't count. Come on, man. Nah, the Whisper song? Shout out to the Yin Yang Twins, but bro, that don't count.
Yeah, so you gotta let me know when you remember what the song was.
Definitely is, bro. I'm gonna go think about that too.
Slow twerk song. Shit, man. I wanted to do something else with you real quick before we get out of here. We do this every week. Usually, again, I have a female co-host, Kristen. Yeah. We do this. I usually let her do this segment, but she's not here. We always get hit up for like relationship advice
All right.
and stuff like that. And then, you know, our callers, our listeners, email in and send us a little dilemma.
Yeah, I got some game. I got some tips.
So let's figure this out. This one comes from a female, right?
All
right. She says, I'm really hoping, and we keep everything anonymous because we don't want to put nobody on black. We don't need it messy.
Right.
I'm really hoping you can all help me gain some insight on this one because I'm stuck. I'm seeing a guy and we're still fresh. There's a lot I like about him, but there's these little things about him that just bother me so much. It's small habits of his and his way of speaking. He's just so brash sometimes. He speaks and he's not smooth with it. I just really feel conscious every time I bring him around anyone. I'm scared of how he might come across. He keeps telling me his things that he could work on and fix, but I don't have the patience for all that. I'm annoyed already, and it's only the beginning. He embarrasses me in front of my friends. So do I give this guy a chance? Is it worth trying to change someone who's stuck in their ways?
Well, I feel like I can go in on that. You can't make somebody someone you want them to be. You know, I honestly feel like that. I feel like you can't train a person. You know, a person gonna come as they is. And, you know, for that situation, I feel like she should address the situations to him first. And if she don't see a change in him, then you gotta reevaluate the situation. You know, you might have to find something better because there's plenty of people in the world. You know, you can find somebody with everything you like. You know, I just know in times people always find people they like, but they ain't got all the qualities they like, right? Like that they need, and they try to beat it into them or force that into them. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to happen. Like, right. You can't force somebody to be something they're not.
Right.
It'll come off naturally.
I agree with that, man. I would have to say I'm agree with you. I'm a big proponent of that. Like, people don't change, like, kind of who they are. Like, we could help make people better, and I think being in a real good relationship inspires you to want to be better, but that's how you met them.
Yeah, and that's how they gonna come.
Yeah. Nah, so yeah, you gotta, like, accept him for who he is.
You gotta accept him for who he is, and if that's something that you wanna deal with, then you gotta deal with it. But, I mean, of course you don't like being embarrassed in front of your friends. You know, you don't know how he gonna come off. That's something that you should fix ASAP, immediately. Right. That's a problem that you should address.
And she said that they still fresh, so like...
Oh, it's still fresh.
So it's still no love lost, too. So it's like, if y'all got to split and maybe just be friends, like...
Yeah, I mean, and that was the key thing, it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's all fresh, so you still got time to catch it, and y'all ain't gonna hate each other. You know what I'm saying? You could cut it off now, y'all still be good. And you never know, he might go change on his own. You got to let people change on their own, you can't change them.
You ever met a girl that you was in a relationship with, and she might have been perfect, and it was just one thing?
All my chicks been pretty A1.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But of course, they don't have qualities. I'd be like, man, she like this, but she ain't got that. But it's like no female. I feel like if you got one female, it's always gonna be another one that do something different from a female. So different, but they the same in a lot of ways. But they all different. Like a good female can all bring something different to the table. You know what I'm saying? And if this one got a certain quality that this one ain't got, you still can't force them in. That's why dudes try to be players. You know what I'm saying? Because they want, well, this girl ain't filling this gap.
Right.
Well, I'm going to go get this from over here, and she ain't filling that gap, so I'm going to fill that gap too, and they create a balance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you can find a girl that has every quality you want. It's just like sometimes dudes, we be selfish.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Real talk, like we be selfish. Like, girl might have everything we want, but still we want to step out and get something different. Like, that's just how dudes be rocking. You know, that's just something that every guy in America need to work on.
In the world.
Yeah.
Are you in a relationship now?
Now I got a best friend, so I don't know what we calling it.
Miss Kathy's granddaughter?
Yeah.
Still.
My best friend. That's just my best friend.
That's good, though. Like,
That's just my best friend.
And she says the same thing. Now, what does she tell her friends about you when they be like, yo, what's up with Queen? Does she be like, that's my man? Or does she be like, nah, that's my best friend?
They already know. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is one of them things they know.
I'm just trying to figure out, like... Her answers got to match up with yours. Like, y'all just got to be like, we both best friends. I mean,
you know,
she one of them type.
You know, she'll be like, man, that's my best friend.
Because if she running around saying, that's my man, and you running around saying, that's my best friend.
But she'll be like, that's my best friend. You know what I'm saying? And she'll, and if a dude asks her, she'll be like, man, that's my best friend. And she going to cut it right there. You're not going to be able to get no conversation out of her.
Right. That also sounds like a song.
Yeah, it definitely.
Best friend. That's my best friend. Go best friend.
That's my best friend. Girl, if I was your best friend, I want you around all the time.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's my best friend.
All right, man. Before we go, man, and you just kind of, I just want you to give the people like a little taste. again, your voice is dope, man. And I think people was going to underestimate you when they look, when they might be here like Baby, when they hear Cash Money, because we're not used to R&B coming out of Cash Money, even though Stunna signed Tina Marie like years ago and put that out. Can you sing a little something for us? Can you give us a piece of maybe B.E.D. or something like that? Or whatever you choose. Miss Kathy, whatever you want to do.
I know you want to love, but I just want to fuck. Hey, girl, you know the deal. I got to keep it real. I know you want to see. I know you want to be in my B.E.D. Grinding slowly. I know you want to love, but I just want to fuck. Hey, girl, you know the deal. I gotta keep it real, girl, I know you wanna see, I know you wanna be in my BD, grinding slowly.
It's just one hand clapping here. It's just me and him in the room. We just, but that's
amazing.
Hey,
what it is, what you wanna know? I done read about 100 shows. Yeah, man, make sure you go get that.
Yo, this kid is the future, man. Like, yo, you have great energy. Real quick, where can they find you at on Twitter?
Make sure y'all go follow me on Twitter at Jacquees, J-A-C-Q-U-E-E-S, and Instagram, same thing. And then follow the Snapchat, it's Jacquees IG, because you know they on the Snap right about now.
Yeah. Yo, you retweeted me yesterday, man. I got a gang of followers.
Because you was telling the truth.
Just over the retweet.
That's love, though.
I got to check ID. I feel like they might be a little young.
Ah, it's all good, but you might catch a few. Hey, you might catch a few, though, for real.
I ain't trying to catch nothing. Listen, Jacquees, man, thank you for being a part of the Red Light Special, man. As your career grows, man, I hope that we could be a part of it.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Any support you need from us, you got it, man. And
love, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, bro. Love.
Right, peace, brother.
All right, peace.
Once again, shout out to the boy Jacquees, man. Yo, thank you for that interview. He was open and honest. You know, I asked him, you know, right out the gate about the all the rumors about Birdman and how hard it is being signed to Cash Money right now. And you know, he handled the question like a pro. I ain't know if he's gonna fold under pressure on that one, man. But he said he's just focused.
Touchy issue.
It is a touchy issue, but you know, you signed to Cash Money now. It's definitely a question. Like.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on over there? But he said, you know, he's just focused on him and, you know, his thing is right and Birdman treats him well and everything else will work itself out. But that kid has a bright future. He's talented, man. No matter what, throughout all the controversy, you say what you want about Birdman, but that dude surely knows how to pick talent and reinvent himself. So if he can come out the gate and get like an R&B singer to pop on this next level of Cash Money, like... You know, you got to give it up to him. But, do you agree? You look like you don't agree.
No, I do. I think it's just a touchy subject, like I said. And I think a lot of people are already expecting, you know, somebody like that kind of to fail.
Right.
Especially when you're bringing out an R&B artist. It's kind of like, you know, not only are people already testing the waters with you, but now you're doing something completely different. It's like, is it going to be great or is it just gonna sit there?
You know?
But I wish the best, you know, to all of them. Yeah. So
and that's what it is. We just here judging the music. So everything else is kinda like if you judge the music, the kid could sing and he can make hit records. So we wish him the best, man. Thank you for your time. But in the studio today we got some of your peoples now. And I feel like they my peoples now. It's new. We just met for the first time today out in the hall. But I mean, this brother has been making moves, writing. He's an author, right? And a film director and doing it all independent, man. 100% independent. Since we first started this podcast, you've been telling me about this movie that you're in. You, Me, Him, and Her. Did I say that right?
Yep. You, Me, Him, and Her.
You, Me, Him, and Her.
A Jay-Z song.
Yeah.
A Jay-Z song. And the trailer came out. And once we seen this trailer, we was like, all right, now it's time to talk about this.
It became a real thing.
It is real now. So I'd like to welcome to the Red Light Special, Mr. Al Patron, man. What up, bro?
I appreciate you having me. Thank you very much.
Minotti, right?
Yes.
Minotti. You can put Minotti, the mic in the center a little
bit. My husband in the film is here.
Ow.
You, Me, Him, and Her. Automatically, I hear the title. Originally, it was based off of a book that you wrote, right?
Two books that I've written.
So break that down for us.
2013, I wrote two books making fun of myself. And basically what I did was I just came off a breakup. And the best way to come off a breakup is to make fun of yourself. Like, that's literally all you can do. And so I had fun with myself with that. And the first book was called Forks in the Road, another Jay-Z line.
Mm-hmm.
Forks in the Road, so you went straight. That.
Right.
And then Arrette, Forks in the Road 2. So it's based on both of those things.
Okay. So Forks in the Road and Arrette, Forks in the Road 2.
Yes.
And then we come out and You, Me, Him, and Her is the result.
Well, You, Me, Him, and Her is because, obviously, another Jay-Z song.
Right.
And the principles in the film, it's a You, Me, Him, and Her situation. It's the four. There's four principles in the movie.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it just fit. And that's always been one of my favorite songs ever.
Mm-hmm.
El Capitan. Like, I'm the Capitan. You know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. So that's my dad.
Jay-Z is your dad. Wait, so who's the me? And the me is you, Al Patron.
Yes.
This is going to get really confusing. Play along. Write it down as you're listening so you can play along. The me is you.
Yes.
Al Patron. Who's the you?
Manati P.
Yeah, the you is me.
Okay.
Manati and you.
Sounds mad confusing.
Who's the him?
Him is Ahmad. Ahmad, he's an R&B singer and he's an actor. But that's the you.
Okay. That's the him.
Wait, yeah, see?
See, that's the him.
Wait. I messed it up?
You.
Yeah, get your movie right.
You is Manati. Me is you,
is Al Patron.
Him is Ahmad.
And who's her?
So
and
why then are you asking me if you know this?
And then there's her. Who is her?
Her is Sakina.
Yeah, who is her, Al?
Sakina.
Well, her has changed a couple times, so I want to know, too.
Oh, well, the casting of this has changed a million times.
Yeah.
Al likes to change hers often.
Talk about it.
Can we not?
This is what got you here in the first place. So I remember hearing about this. Chris, it was originally a play. When did you decide to take it from a play into a film?
Sometime last summer, around, I want to say like July 2014, July, August 2014, and I just said, fuck it, like, let's make it something that's going to be on Earth forever, because a play is going to be a one-time thing. So why do something? If you came to the play, right, you'd have watched it once. And if you can't record it or nothing like that, like, I like to have my life to be on some shit that's like forever.
Okay.
Like, when I die, I'm still here.
Okay.
So that's the reason it's a movie.
All right. Now, you know, I've been following along on social media as you guys have been filming this thing. I mean, basically...
Which I appreciate, by the way.
Nah, of course. Basically, the reason why you guys are up on the red light special, usually, you know, our listeners know us for doing R&B and stuff like that, but we also tackle relationships. A lot of R&B deals with relationships and the ups and the downs and the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, if I could chime in here.
Yep.
My film is based on that.
My
film is based on, say if Martin never got Gina back, that's what my movie is.
Right.
And I based it on that. Like, my girlfriend just left me and here's this fucked up situation and let's watch this guy downward spiral. That's what it is.
Okay. So your girlfriend really left you in real life.
It's like a biopic.
Okay, first of all.
Al tends to deny it. But...
Are you B Rabbit? Is this A Mile?
It's not my 8 Mile.
Like, this isn't my life. I'm just B Rabbit and I'm white and I battle rap.
Honestly, it's based on my life in 2012. What 2012 and 2013 my life was, I was prepared to get married. Like, I was engaged to be married and my girl left me and...
Why'd she leave you? Hold on, now. This is the part where women, I feel like, I don't know a woman that women love to get proposed to, right? And we're ready for marriage, and this is the dream, right? And she just walked away from all of this, like
all of this. All of this in 2015 is not all of this in 2012. I was a piece of shit in 2012. Like, what? I was not the guy in 2012.
You're not a piece of shit now.
Can you mind your business? So, I was... I wasn't a complete person yet.
Okay.
And I finally became a complete person. Like, I'm still becoming. who I am.
Right.
And back then, please, I was just, no way, I was ready for that.
So you're a work in progress.
Absolutely.
If you had to pick an R&B song to describe your situation in 2012, what would the song be?
Great question. Donald Jones, Where I Want to Be.
Great song.
I feel like we mentioned this song every other episode.
It's the Ain't Shit Nigga anthem. Period.
Did you leave her a message? No, she left you. So.
She left me.
Did she leave you a message?
It kind of works. It works. It works both ways.
Right. So I mean, you know, we kind of beating around. You, pause.
I'm 32. I don't pause.
I wasn't gonna say it.
But I don't pause. I don't do it. No,
well, your father started pause.
Yeah, you definitely paused.
Yeah, my dad said that in like 2000.
Jay-Z is his father.
Jay-Z is
are
my
we
dad.
Crediting him for that, or are we
pause?
Jay-Z is my dad.
I think on a grand scale, right?
I think we heard you.
I kind of credit Dame for that. Maybe that's me.
Oh, maybe. Well, same difference.
Same boat. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Thank you.
So, you cheated on her, is what happened.
No.
You didn't cheat on her?
I've never cheated on a woman I've ever
shocked.
Had a relationship with.
So why would she leave you? I'm dead curious now.
I was so concentrated on my work, honestly. That's exactly what happened. I was so concentrated on my work that I didn't spill out my plan for what I had. I'm going to write 5 books. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. That wasn't my plan.
Right.
I ended up writing 5 books and 3 of them went #1 on Amazon. Mm-hmm. If I told her that, I'm pretty sure she would have been like, yeah, I'm with you.
Right.
But she didn't know what I was doing as I'm writing these books. She's looking at me like, why are you always busy? Right. And I never like broke it down the right way. As a writer, and somebody told me this the other day, as a writer, we're not good outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
As a writer, you're stuck on your own bullshit. You feel like you're great, and I feel like I'm the greatest person of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're stuck on that only. And you never, there's no way for you to explain it and share yourself with other people. So I never told her what my plan was, and that's how it felt, though.
Minotti, does this feel accurate to you?
I mean,
he wasn't around me around that
time.
Yeah,
I wasn't really
but he has the script
time,
now.
But I was about to ask, like, you don't think maybe she got tired of making love to 99 problems?
What? Don't be awkward. Just awkward.
Don't be awkward.
Nah, you was playing Jay-Z in the bedroom?
No, I was not playing Jay-Z in the bedroom.
This is just Minotti getting that out. What I did want to ask you is, you know, when you gave me the script, first of all, you know, knowing you as a person, I
wrote it specifically for you, by the way.
Hold on, Kristen, who do you play in the film? I just want to be clear.
I play Blair.
Okay.
So I play this
psycho.
Psycho girl who basically he kind of just sleeps with as a rebound because he just got out of this crazy messy breakup with the main girl, and I kind of just like hooked on to him, and I'm, you know, I was hoping for more, and I got this.
What's this? Wait a minute, what do you
mean? The 2015 version
the
of the 2012 version of yourself?
2012 version.
You get the 2012 version instead of 2015.
Exactly. Okay. So that's what I got, and so I you know, I reacted.
And reacted you did.
Yeah,
and,
that
and
I did.
The reason that I picked you for that specifically is because there's two things. One is that I'm actually comfortable speaking to you in that realm. Mind you, you know that I wasn't supposed to be Jamel in this film.
Like, no.
I wasn't supposed to be the character in this film.
No.
But there's something about your eyes. The way your eyes, you have this thing that goes like this. And you do this bugged out eye thing, and then it shows some kind of crazy. Okay, it's a good thing. Don't look at me like that. It's a good thing.
Mind you, Al just literally opened his eyes with his own fingers. I mean, my eyes are big, but...
Yeah, but that speaks to the crazy that I was looking for.
Okay.
So I wrote it specifically for you. Like, there's literally nobody else that could have played Blair. You had to be the person to do it.
I didn't know you wrote that part.
Absolutely, I wrote
it. Tailored.
I tailored it.
That's kind of crazy.
Did you?
This is news to me.
Did you tailor? Because I've seen this now. If you follow Kristen, if you follow Al Patron on social media, as they've been filming this thing and going along the way, they have been leaking clips and stuff like that online. And there's one scene where Kristen smacks the shit out of Al Patron. Like,
wait, that's
like,
out? That's not.
It was on Twitter.
That scene's on Twitter.
I've seen this on Twitter.
Okay, because in the teaser,
it's not in the teaser.
In the teaser, you don't see.
Am I giving spoilers? Is this like?
No, it's out. It's out. I'm not.
I know they're giving death penalties for Star Wars spoilers right now. I don't want to walk outside the studio.
Nobody's stoning you.
Right. And Al Pacino's people. Queens? Yeah, it's going to be a whole Queens mob outside. And, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm not even supposed to be here. but you smacked the shit out of him. So
she did. She did. I wanted that, though. I wanted her to smack me like that.
I'm not that. That's why I'm not an actor.
You know what it was about that, honestly? If I show somebody that's in the film that I'm dedicated to it that much, that I'm letting somebody fucking take off on my face,
right,
they're going to dedicate themselves to this craft as well. Same shit.
How many takes did y'all do? How many times did y'all do that scene?
Oh, well, that wasn't the first one. That was like fourth one.
Initially, we shot it outside. Is that the one that's out? That's the one that's out.
Yeah, the one that's out is the one.
So initially, we shot it outside. But this film has changed so many times, and a lot of it, even though we've had a script, has been improv.
Okay.
So first of all, Al is like the king of just going off script. So he'll say something and completely throw you off, and you're stuck in the middle of a scene going,
What's the reason I do that?
It gets natural reactions.
Exactly.
Manati, how many times are you slapped in this film?
I'm not slapped at all. Okay. I'm too real for all that. I'm not letting no man listen.
So. Can you relate to this film? Like, how do you relate to this film with your personal life, relationships that you had, and just being in the film?
Originally, I wasn't even supposed to be in the film. Like, back when the film was a play, I was just showing up to rehearsals because Al is my friend. I was just coming to support Al. And then one of the dudes didn't show up one day, so they had me read his parts. And the cast liked it so much.
This is a true story, by
the way. Yeah. Next rehearsal, I showed up and they just handed me a script.
So what happened to the other guy? Just
we fired him. We fired him.
Yeah. Okay. I never liked him either.
I think
I saw him. I didn't even.
He didn't say that. He said I never like.
Oh, I never saw him. I think I met him once.
If I see you, I'm gonna see you.
Wait.
All right. Let's. So, this is an R&B show. You can't.
Yeah. You can't do the dog thing.
I'm talking shit.
See, she don't even know who was playing.
I forgot who was my initial husband.
Well, it's not wait. Important now. It's
wait. So your,
oh,
your
so character, that's why you're saying that.
Your character Blair slept with Jamel?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And okay,
let me give you something about Jamel.
By the way, for everybody listening, Jamel, because we haven't even stated this, Jamel is Al.
He said that's how I knew because he said it.
All right, so Jamel is based on my real life in 2012, 2013, right. as we talked about earlier. But the reason that I picked the name Jamel is my best friend in the world and who I consider my brother, he's locked up right now. He's locked up until 2024. And that's his name, is Jamel Murray.
Okay.
So I chose his name to, like, give him a shout-out. Like, and it's crazy that fucking Ty Dolla $ign did the same thing with the Free TC thing.
Right.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's me shouting out my brother, basically. So that's why I picked that name, Jamel. Because I could have easily done Al.
Okay, so let's talk about the 2015. This is the 2012 version of you that gets dumped because you're a writer who doesn't communicate very well.
At all. I was not good at communicating my thoughts and my feelings to her at all.
Who gets slapped in the face because you fuck with the wrong crazy.
Yeah.
Are you Ecuadorian in the film as well? Or does it matter? Do we state
She's
this?
Actually Jewish in the film.
Wait, so she's Jewish.
Wait,
she's Jewish in the film.
Is that in the script? Because
yeah, she's Jewish.
Yeah, I'm Jewish in the film.
Her last name is Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller is not a Jewish name.
Yeah, I was about to say. Like, what are you talking Miller's about? Reggie Miller's not Jewish.
Okay, stop. Shut up. So,
Mac Miller.
No, but her dad in the film, right? "Quote unquote" dad in the film is he portrays a Jewish dude.
That's my man. What's his name? Thug Heffernan.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe.
Thug Heffernan, right?
Shout out to Joe, man.
I just know people by their Twitter
Doug
name.
Yeah, Doug Heffernan on Twitter.
Sarcasm is a must.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's crazy is that we did a scene. Remember when we was outside of the joint and we were supposed to be fighting. And he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey, Al." I'm like, "Where's Al at?" And he said Al instead of saying Jamel because he's like pulling up on me that way. So
Acting 101. But okay, so the film, the trailer is out.
Mm-hmm.
Show's out.
It's a teaser trailer.
You know what? It's a teaser trailer, and
what's the difference? I don't know what the difference. And I see this in Hollywood too.
It's a big difference for me. I looked at it as is. I wanted people to watch the trailer and say, "Why is he such an asshole?" Like, I wanted that question to be there. Like, damn, this nigga's fucking asshole. Like, who the fuck? Why is he such a dick? And they're gonna like want to see more.
Right.
So the next trailer that we put out is gonna be like, when a man loses his women, he turns into a crazy. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm doing that voice.
Narrator. Okay. Yeah,
the movie voice.
I've been doing too much voiceover.
The James Earl Jones joint. So it's that. And I just feel like, again, it's a Martin meets fucking Larry David. And Martin meets Larry David, and he happens to be Haitian. Right. That's who I turned into. Wait,
which one is Haitian?
I'm
Martin
Haitian,
or Larry?
I'm Haitian. What the fuck are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about when Martin and Larry
what
David
are you talking about?
He's which saying one Martin is meets Larry David, and
I'm Haitian. And
the outcome happens.
He happens to be Haitian. And
I
she's
one of them.
And she's Jewish.
Come on, Minotti.
And that's a big thing.
Y'all should have got me drunk before I came in here.
I don't want to ignore the fact that I'm Haitian in this film.
Right.
The fact that, because for me, being a Haitian person, like, I take super pride in being Haitian. Like,
we know.
Okay.
As you should.
Sorry.
Okay, so
I take super pride in that.
When can we get the movie? I know you have the site. Where's the site up? The trailer's on the site, and you can order the movie now. You can pre-order it, right?
LBBproductions.vhx.tv. December 30th, the day before New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's my birthday. Mm. Happy December birthday. Yeah. Hell yeah. The movie's coming out December 30th?
Happy birthday.
Rob just threw his arms up like he won the lottery.
Hell yeah. I got a movie coming out on my birthday.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Nah. So it's coming out December 30th?
December 30th.
Okay.
Shit, the pre-orders have been jumping. The trap has been jumping with the pre-orders. Okay. And it's going to be funny. Like, let's get back to that. Because what we have in 2015, everybody is just so sensitive about everything. And you can't talk about this. You can't say this. You can't do that. Fuck that, man. Let's go have fun. Let's laugh again.
Finally. I got a question. Are we going to get a piece of that pre-order money?
So, yeah.
Minotti with the big question.
I want to shout out Vince before anything. I mean, Rob, you're familiar with Vince, obviously. Vince Valhalla.
Oh, yes.
I wanted
Staples?
To shout him out because he was probably the first person to really. You're an asshole.
I didn't know where you was going with it. Then it was awkward.
No chance.
Sorry, Vince.
Nah, Vince Valhalla, man. What up, homie? Nah, that's the homie.
He was one of the first people to really like screenshot that, send it to us, and be like, "Hey, I got my pre-order in." So. Definitely wanted to shout him out for, you know, he's always supporting. And, you know, everything with Kirby.
I pre-ordered it too. I just didn't screenshot it and tweet it. I feel like you was throwing shots.
I'm not throwing shots. I'm just, shut up.
Why didn't you order this shit?
You sit right next to me. Vince lives in Miami.
You know he was going to see it regardless, so, you know.
Nah, it's all good. Nah, okay, so it's out there on the site. Let's do something, though, before we get out of here, man. I'm interested in this movie. What's up?
I'm about to finish, this movie is definitely about to be finished, and we're going to do that, but I'm on my sixth book right now,
mm-hmm.
And as good as my five books have been, and they've sold some shit, you know what I mean, like, and everybody knows I'm the best writer alive, and I know you're a writer, and that's not to be disrespectful
shots.
To you.
I already see
that. No, not even.
I respect it.
Because, yeah, how do you not feel like you're the best writer? You're supposed to think the same thing.
Right.
I'm the best writer alive. And my next book is going to, like, legitimately
change the game for these hoes?
I don't use those words.
You like that?
I don't use the words.
I don't know.
I don't use the word hoes. I don't use the word hoe. I don't use the word faggot. I don't use the word bitch. I don't use those words.
Okay.
But, God.
Not Jesus, when mics are on.
But, Jesus Christ, I'm about to fucking fuck shit up with this book.
What are you What are you writing it on?
I created this character, and it's just going to be some shit. Like, it's just going to be some shit.
Really, though, he just made me seem like a savage. All I was doing was calling Jay-Z. He missed it. You, me, him, and her. Change the game for these hoes.
But I get it.
Now I'm an asshole.
Together. Trust me. I pieced it together.
You just put me all the way under the bus. Like, see
you know how
in the
video. I know I'm drunk? When she said, "What are you writing it on?" I was about to say paper.
Oh, Minotti, come on.
Yeah, I was like,
oh my God.
Dug that. Well, listen, man, before we go, because I feel like.
What's the question that you guys had to ask
Well, the question I was going to ask you earlier was about the slap. So I got that question then. But we do a relationship advice segment.
Okay.
That we're going for. Because I feel like y'all are really good at relationships or really bad at them. And I can't determine right now. But we're just going to throw you a scenario. Either way, it's going to be fun.
Okay.
Either way, it's going to be fun.
Okay.
So, Christmas is around the corner, and my boyfriend has yet to invite me to spend it with him and his family. This is our first year together during the holidays. I haven't invited him either. But who takes the initiative of asking?
Man.
Maybe he'll ask the week of, but as the days get closer, I can't stop thinking about it and whether or not I should feel some type of way about it.
The man. Be a man. Be a man about your shit and invite your women to Christmas, yo. Stop being a bitch. Invite your girl.
I thought
to
you didn't use the word bitch or.
Well, see,
or...
I'm calling a man a bitch. I'm not calling a woman a bitch.
Okay. Fair enough.
See, you know, it's very different. Yeah, stop being a bitch. Invite your girl to fucking Christmas, yo. She's been around with you. Go ahead and do that. Take care of her.
But now, go ahead.
I think if he's waiting until the week of, it's probably because the side chick canceled on him.
Wow. What if she's the side chick?
No.
That brings a whole new dynamic into it. If she,
yo, that's
if he waits the week of, you're probably the side chick.
Hold on a second. That's the most false thing of all time, by the way. Side chicks, because nobody has side chicks for real in real life. Oh. Everybody wants to talk about they have side chicks.
Who?
Get the fuck out of here with that. Nobody has side chicks for real in real life. The way that things go, you either have a girlfriend or you don't, and there's no side chicks. Niggas don't be having girls like that at all. Niggas don't be having bitches like that. Excuse me, excuse my language, but niggas don't be at all. I'm get the fuck out of here, yo.
I probably shouldn't even say this, but I'm a side nigga in like two relationships right now.
I know this shit's real. That's your business. That's your business. Ain't got nothing to do with me.
I know it's real out here.
Oh my god. So if a guy is with a girl for, let's say, 3 years, right, and he happens to run into somebody that he really likes and he just doesn't want to let that go, and he happens to see her every once in a while, that's not a side chick to you? And he's still carrying on his 3-year relationship.
That's Donnell Jones. That is Al Patron 2012,
no? Yeah. But here's the thing. Don't try to say I was doing dirt in 2012, because my ex might be listening to it. I'm sorry.
You wrote a whole movie about it.
I didn't do that. So,
We were on a break.
That's Friends
like,
right
like,
there.
Like Ross. I was on a break.
I was homesick today.
We were on a break.
I saw that episode today, man. This is still funny.
No, not even that. It's just that.
That is hilarious.
Nah, just don't cheat on your girl. Yo, what the fuck? don't cheat. I don't. I'm not.
So you think it should be the man to initiate the
Absolutely.
Question?
Absolutely.
Here's my thing.
Be a man about your shit.
Nah.
Yo, I'm 32 years old now. Like, I ain't no kid no more. Like, I was outside. This nigga knows. I was outside when I was 19. I was in the street for real. I ain't got no time to be a fucking kid and be a gigolo and be a gigolo. Like, no. 32 years older now, I'm going to take care of the lady I'm with, period. I ain't got a time to cheat on no girl, ever. No.
Here's my thing. They've been together about a year, she says.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, has she ever met his family? That's one thing we don't know. Like, I don't know what his home situation is. You know, if she wants to spend Christmas with him, I believe that, because I do believe the man should take an initiative. I believe
Absolutely.
That chivalry
Absolutely.
Is out there. But I also believe, as a woman, if you want something, then step up and ask for it.
No,
so,
but here's the thing about that. And that's, for me, that's a problem for men in general. We sit there and we tell women to say something, but we don't know how to initiate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to be in charge. We want to be called men without taking charge.
No, but he might not be inviting her to Christmas, because there might not be a Christmas to invite anybody to. Invite him to your family's house.
I don't think that.
And then put the ball in his court, and if he comes, then it's all love. And if he doesn't, oh well, what you doing for Christmas? Then you kind of know where you stand. You know what I'm saying? With dude, like,
but it's tough, because I feel like if you guys have been together a year, you would know whether or not there's a Christmas at his family's house or not. It's no guessing. Not always. I mean, some guys are not close to their family, so how are you going to get close if your boyfriend can't even get close to his own family?
Everybody's close to their family, man. That's
not everybody is close to their family. Not everybody is close to their family. But
I'm Haitian. My family means the world to me. So
that's you, but that can't be. You can't speak for everybody else. And my thing is, if you guys are together a whole year, you should know whether or not his family is having Christmas or not, whether he's doing anything. That should have already been spoken about. If the guy hasn't initiated it, then maybe there's a reason why you haven't been invited, or maybe there is no Christmas holiday, you know, party so, going so on. But I do feel like the guy should always be the first one to initiate some sort of like, hey, what are you doing for Christmas? Like, you know, even if there's nothing going on in his house, he should be asking you what you're doing for Christmas for the holidays.
And make your own Christmas.
If like, you have to initiate like, it, like if I as a female have to ask you like, hey, so like, are you having Christmas at your family's this year or something? Now I don't even want to be invited.
Hey, babe, what are we doing for Christmas?
Because now it's awkward. Word.
Dead ass.
Yeah, done.
Casually bring done. It up the me, day of. Like, yo, what you about to do?
Nah, we're not even having the day of.
Like, the day of. Even the week of. Like, yo, what's up? What are we doing for Christmas?
But also, I feel like the fact that she emailed us, I'm glad she emailed us, because if she didn't email us, we wouldn't have no email. So you emailed us, thank you. But the fact the fact that you emailed us and are not talking to him about it,
yeah,
to me, it's like, is there a bigger communication problem? Like,
oh yeah,
it's not a hard thing to bring up. Like, I don't know, you might be making too much of it. Hey, babe, what are we doing for Christmas? And put it out there,
that's
and then
all you have to
then
say.
Based off of his reaction
as a guy.
No, as a girl. That was me being the girl.
Oh no, I was talking about as a guy.
Okay. Either way, it's
we should initiate it. We should do it.
The guys should always be the ones for those kind of conversations to initiate absolutely. Something. And I feel like, again, if I have to be the girl to say something, there's already kind of like an awkwardness to it.
I'm already in New Year's.
Here's the other thing.
I'm already in, I'm already in 2016.
But here's the other question.
Yeah.
A lot of this shit don't make no sense.
Yet. What do you mean?
What did y'all do for Thanksgiving?
I was with my family.
With my family.
No, but her. You know what I'm saying? Her and him. Like.
Yeah.
Whatever. If Christmas is the problem and it's new, Thanksgiving is the litmus test for what we doing for Christmas. Like,
that's true.
So how did y'all get past Thanksgiving? Did y'all just
we're gonna need another email.
She giving half the story. Wait, it might be her. Now I'm looking at her kind of funny. Like, why isn't he inviting you to? Maybe it's you.
Yeah.
You're right, but at the same time, it's like that Friday after Thanksgiving. If you have your own Thanksgiving with Shorty, that means more to her than anything else. Right or wrong?
Sure.
Because it's more of a personal thing. So sometimes, like, just inviting that, because my family, you're related to me, you know my family. We okay, so I invited this girl over to fucking Thanksgiving. They're like, all right, that's just another seat at the table. It means nothing. If you do something personal.
That's funny.
Oh, not me. It means everything. If my brother.
They look. Yeah, yes, absolutely. They look at the same time. They don't.
So you're saying that bringing a girl over to your family's house for Thanksgiving is just another seat at the table?
It's just another seat at the table.
I'm going to put my brother on blast.
Just, exactly. Dead ass. Just dinner.
My brother brought a girl over and for Christmas. Thanksgiving this year that we never met before. I never met before. So there was a lot of questions.
All right.
It was a thing.
Was it you questioning it, or like you just like, all right, that's another seat at the table?
Nah, I was like, yo, bro, what's up?
I definitely had
questions.
You're not conditioned to seeing your brother being like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But nah, it's right. Just whatever.
So there we go. Listen, best advice, do whatever y'all did for Thanksgiving. There we go. We worked it out for y'all.
And if the man is listening, take some initiative, man. Like, I hate when a guy can't put his foot down and... The guy should be in control most of the time. The man should be in control most of the time.
Women say that, but don't fucking appreciate when a nigga's about his shit. And they go, you know what?
I don't know what women you know.
Then he's too controlling.
Exactly.
Okay, there's a difference between controlling. Listen, I will tell you this. A woman likes to know that a man can be in control, but doesn't always have to be controlling. Big difference. It's knowing that a man can be in control when the time need be.
She's yelling now.
That's
she's
all I'm
upset.
Saying.
Yeah, it's late
there's
now.
There's steam coming out here.
This is why you, meet him and her. You need to go watch this because the scene where I slap Al is amazing, she's guys. Like, I just want you guys
to
know
that.
Because
you meant it. Because you meant it for real.
Yeah.
I fucking hate you for smacking me that hard.
And and Manati too. Shout out to Manati for being here today.
Yeah, because this movie might be the closest I ever get to dating Kristen. So.
But you are her father, B.
No, he's
oh,
not
husband.
My,
what?
He's
husband.
My husband.
Oh,
in the
man.
Movie.
Oh,
you made it weird. Just
I'm confused.
We Netflix and chill.
Doug Heffernan is your father.
Yes. Yes.
My bad.
Shout out to Joe. Shout out to Joe. Joe, what up, boy?
My bad.
Joe's the best looking.
Joe
is the best.
Okay. Oops, my bad.
Pay attention, Rob.
Manati, his stock just went down and I just fucked his whole shit.
Yeah, this, oh man. I hope none of my chicks are listening.
That's all right.
You decide, girl. Dude, in two different relationships, man. You're good.
Well, I mean, one is here. All right, never mind.
All right. Yo, let's wrap this up. So, Al, one more time. You, Me, Him, and Her is out December 30th. Where can they get it?
lbbproductions.vhx.tv.
Okay, put your pre-orders in now. The pre-orders come with a lot of stuff. You get digital copies of the book. You get all this extra stuff.
I'm gonna give you the books. I'm gonna give you the soundtrack off of that.
Behind the scenes.
Oh man, I'm gonna give you some behind the scenes shit. The soundtrack is fucking incredible. Fucking Rob White, used to be named Push Montana.
Yep, shout out to Push.
Yeah, we have all of that. So we good money.
Oh, wait, cool. That's who Rob White is?
Yeah. You just found out?
I had no idea.
Nani's always two steps behind.
And, where can they get you on Twitter, Instagram, and all that?
Well, my Twitter is @AL_Patron. And then my Instagram is Little Bastard Boy. Why is my Instagram is Little Bastard Boy? Anybody wants to take a guess?
Because Jay-Z don't claim you.
Because Jay-Z... Good one.
That was a better answer than the real answer.
Yeah, the real answer is that it's because from Little Bastard Boy basking on top on from Magna Carta Holy Grail.
Unbelievable.
Okay. My dad said...
Unbelievable.
He's my dad. Jay-Z's my dad. I'm not gonna lie.
Yo, Minotti, man, where can they get you at, man?
@Minotti23 on Twitter and Instagram. I'm the same name on everything.
Okay. Chris, man.
@ChrisLover. That's Twitter, Instagram.
And I'm a sex symbol.
Wait, fam.
I'm a sex symbol. The ladies need to know that.
That's cool and all, but you cut me off one more time and you're not going to be speaking.
You might get slapped for real.
She slapped me for real in the movie.
Yeah, that shit was lit.
Rob. So,
@RobMarkman. You already know everywhere on Twitter, Instagram, RobMarkman. And I'm on Snapchat now. I just don't know how often I will be Snapchatting. But I put up some cool Christmas decorations yesterday for y'all.
You got a tree?
No, I went. Oh, every year I take my kids to the rich part of Brooklyn, the Dyker Heights, where like the mansions are, and we go look at how the other half lives and see all their Christmas decorations.
How did the half
lives? Yeah, and show them all the things that they can't have. And I Snapchatted
that's
it. Yeah. So we're out there. Yo, next week. We're back next week. We're working on a legendary guest. Let me not say nothing. Just wanted to be a surprise.
And before we go, if you're looking for some dope Christmas gifts, Jake and Papa have the sweatsuits out. So if you go to jakeandpapa.com, they have everything up there. And they're dope and comfy.
That's what's
up. I got mine.
I'm not going to wait for Christmas. I want mine now.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay for express shipping and all of that. There you go. and a good birthday gift for me, you can get me, You, Me, Him, and Her. December 30th, if you love me.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Thank
pre-order that
you.
On my behalf.
Thank you for having me. Seriously.
Ow.
Nah, all that. Good. All right, so until next week, we're going to take you out of here with Jake and Papa Starless. This has been the Red Light Special. Hit us up @RLS Podcast. Peace. And that's